hello out there to the amazing FitCast audience and community. You are hearing a strange voice right now, but for some of you, it's maybe not terribly strange. This is Brian Patrick Murphy. I've been a guest on the FitCast at least twice, maybe it's three times, but today we're doing something super, super special. The world famous Kevin Larrabee of the FitCast, the man himself, has asked me to host him and ask him questions. So for the last 10 years, you've been hearing Kevin Larrabee interview, you know, 400 different guests and do an amazing job at it. And today it is my distinct pleasure to host Mr. FitCast himself, Mr. Kevin Larrabee, as the guest on his own show. This is freaking meta. Welcome, Kevin Larrabee, to the FitCast.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
What is this like for you to be answering the questions, to be on the firing line today?
Well, I think it will be rather comfortable because the cool thing about what I do is, like, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times on the show throughout the years, but like, you get really good at having conversations with people when you do it 400 some odd times. And with what we do in our day to day, we talk to people all the time. So it's actually should go relatively well. But I guess selfishly, what I wanted to do is, like, I've been on some other people's podcasts and, like, I always thought those went really well and I got, like, really great feedback from those. But I'm like, man, I should kind of potentially give that to the FitCast audience as well, and maybe they would enjoy it too. So that's why I thought it would be a great idea. And I do want to give a shout out because Kent Ertman has been bugging me to do this. So, and this goes along with the line of people that have been telling me for years, like, oh, why don't you do your own Q&A on the show or something like that? But I've never really wanted to do it because I didn't think it would work incredibly well. But that's why I asked you to jump on here to ask questions, because I'm a lot more confident with you at the helm.
Well, brother, it is a true honor, and you know I mean that, to be the one to do it. And I'm so glad that you're leaning in to the discomfort of doing something you don't feel as comfortable doing. You're so comfortable as the host of the show that I love that you even acknowledged to me off the air, so to speak, that this is kind of like an egotistical thing for you to do, to be, you know, to do this. So I commend you for doing that. And I'm so honored to have you on here to let me kind of hammer away. I wanted to talk about the beginning of the FitCast. You're the one that's been around for really the longest, as far as I know. From now, there's, you know, hundreds of fitness, nutrition, health, every kind of, you know, podcast that you can come up with. And you're one of the originals. So let's rewind to when you were a very young man, Kevin Larrabee, all those 10 years ago. And tell me, what was the original impetus for you to create this amazing thing called a fitness podcast?
Well, I think, like, straight up, it was, you know, as someone that is a little bit more of a nerd is the best way to put it. But, like, I was super into podcasts, like, before I was even listening to them on iPods, you know, listening to things like, you know, Lou Laporte has the Twit Network with, like, This Week in Tech and all the shows that I think he does. I think there's like 16 or 18 shows that they do on there, and Indignation with Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. But, you know, there were a lot of good tech podcasts and, like, video game podcasts and stuff like that with people that would understand to know how to use a computer and do all the editing and stuff. But there really wasn't a good, like, fitness and nutrition podcast out there. There were a couple, but, like, they're either, like, podcasts that had two or three episodes and then stopped doing it, or they were more on, like, the celebrity, you know, fitness celebrity end of things, which usually is not always the best information out there. So I kind of looked at it two ways. One, I think this would be really valuable for people out there. And two, selfishly, so I started this when I was a sophomore in college. So I was 20, I believe, when I started this, 19 or 20. So I really thought that it would be a great opportunity to interview all these people that, like, I read their books, I read their articles, like, on T Nation, like, you're reading back then, you're reading, like, the Alan Cosgers, the Mike Boyles, the John Berardis of the time, the Tony Gentilcourts, the Eric Cressys, the Cassandra Forsythes, the Lee Peels, and wanting to basically just call them up on the phone. And this is, like, a quick side thing. Like, that's something that was really cool to hear Mike Boyle say in some of the first talks that I had, I saw him give with his, like, success secrets was, you know, one of his, like, secrets of success was he would, back in the day when he was in college himself, he would just find the name at the back of the book. And sometimes it would be like a phone number, or like that person was associated with a college. You'd call the college and then like call up that strength coach and just talk to them on the phone for an hour. So that's basically what I was doing, but I could also justify it, say like, I'm going to take an hour of your time. But what I can do is like, we can also share this with a ton of people that might not know who you are and help with their education. And also, you know, at the end, if you have a book or something, hey, you can tell them about the book too. And that way it's kind of a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. When you first started off, how many followers did you have? You know, how did you get people to get interested in it? That's kind of a two-part question. So start with, when you first posted, how many followers did you have or listeners did you have?
Well, this started out of – the podcast really started out of a forum that I was in at the time, and I guess in two forums to a certain extent. But the JP Fitness forums, which was actually, you know, the JP Fitness Summit back in 06 was the first actual – fitness seminar summit that I ever went to, and they still do that. It's called the Fitness Summit now, but it's kind of the same group. It's Nick, it's like Lou Schuler, and it's the same group that has done those for years. And I was part of that forum, and JP, who obviously ran it, you know, he saw me as like a young kid. Like, I was talking about doing the podcast on the forum, and like, he basically reached out to me and said, "All right, I know you're in college. You don't have to pay for the summit. You just find a way to get to Little Rock, Arkansas," which is not super easy from Boston. The flights there are not incredibly regular, but find a way to get here and I'll just, you know, you can come and you don't have to pay. So I ended up doing that and like met Bill Hartman there and Lou Schuler and, you know, the great group of people that were involved with that. And it started out of there. So I ended up, like, I think the first episode that I did, and this stinks because I'm like looking back on this and I'm kind of blanking. Kaiser was one of the guys that was on the show. And we had a couple of people that were on that original forum on the show. And then it evolved with John Williams, who was also on that forum, but he was more, you know, known for co-writing Gourmet Nutrition with John Berardi for, like, that was even before I think Precision Nutrition existed. And the shorter, I guess the short answer to the long part is not many people listened. I think that was probably maybe for like the first year it had like 200 people. But the cool thing about getting people, like I look back and the cool thing, and this is like, again, very, it's very weird to talk about this, but I know a lot of people in the industry and you get to know like some of the really good people in the industry, like the people that like behind, you know, away from the presentation, like after the talk, like at the bar, you get to kind of know who those people are. And I was just super fortunate to quickly have on the show people like Craig Ballantyne, who had no reason to sponsor the show. He got like zero return from that thing. But he sponsored the show. Like, he gave me $100 an episode, like 10 episodes in.
Wow.
Which is nuts because, like, I'm sure he got, I mean, hopefully people bought a couple copies of Turbulence Training. You know, I did my best to sell that. And I was an actual client, as well, which is, I don't even remember if that I put that in the read back then, but yeah, I got to know people like him, like John Berardi, like Lou Schuler, like Dan John was episode number 10, and Mike Boyle, Eric Cressy. I mean, I got to know Eric Cressy through that, and that led to me training with him in a summer before he opened Cressy Performance, and then interning at Cressy Performance after school. So a lot of those early episodes are incredibly vital to, like, those initial interactions and those getting to know those people are huge for where I'm at today, because you look at those first 20 episodes, it's like, it's Dan John, it's Cassandra Forsythe, it's, you know, it's Boyle, it's Cressy, it's all these people that have been incredibly influential and also just been gigantic supporters. Like, also Mike Boyle supported a bunch of, he sponsored a bunch of the episodes too, rather early on when I was still in college. And I believe John Berardi did too, but yeah, it's getting a little bit hazy now that it's so long ago.
Dude, I appreciate, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I love that you said that, because one of the questions I was going to ask you, which you already acknowledged yourself, was like talking about the support system you had over the years. You know, these huge names. I mean, you're talking about the first 20 episodes, you had the biggest names still 10 years later. These are still the superstars of our industry. And certainly, you know, more people have come on top of that and, you know, some people fade away. But really, that's still the basic, I don't want to say basic, but the base group, I guess I should say, of our industry, and the heavyweights, the heavy hitters, and how wonderful it is to have had that support from the very, very beginning. Is truly exceptional. And you're right. I mean, some of those people you mentioned are such nice humans. I mean, I love that you said that about Craig. He's such a nice guy. And of course he was a supporter. Of course, Mike Boyle and Eric Cressy. I mean, and Dan John. I mean, like,
well, and Alan Cosgrove, yeah, too. Like, yeah. Alan Cosgrove. I mean, I remember, and he brought this up a couple weeks ago when we were, or I guess now it's months ago, when we were out in, I think it was when Long Beach for Perform Better, but he, like, I asked him to do an interview. He was on, I think he was on episode like 7 or 8 or something like that. And I asked him to come on the show, and he's like, I literally can't. Like, he was going through, once the cancer came back, he was going through treatment again. So he was literally too sick to come on the show. But as soon as he could, he hit me back up, because it wasn't that much longer after that. Like, it was, I think it was episode, I'm looking, actually I'm scrubbing through right now, it's episode 14. So, wow. I mean, that's July 16th, 2006, when in April, or I guess, yeah, it would have been April, that he wasn't able to go to that JP Fitness Summit because he was literally in the hospital, I believe getting his stem cell transplant at that point. So, again, it's just like, can you talk about luck?
Well, it's because you're a nice guy and people wanted to help you out and you were very driven. Can I tell you a quick funny story about JP Fitness?
Totally, yeah.
So now, obviously, you know, those of us that are in the industry know all about the Fitness Summit, and it's legendary. So this goes in, but those people listening that don't know who I am one of the co-founders of Mark Fisher Fitness. I don't know if I said that in the lead-in, but that's my connection to Kevin Larrabee and to the industry. But way back when, I forget what year, I could probably look it up, but in the early 2000s, myself and Mark Fisher both used to be actors, and both of us worked, and we were friends, and which obviously we still are, thank God. And we worked back-to-back productions at a theater in Little Rock, Arkansas, called the Arkansas Rep Theater, which is right downtown Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Now, it's so hilarious. The world is so small that at the time they had a relationship with none other than JP Fitness in downtown Little Rock. So while we were doing a show in Little Rock, Arkansas, I would work out for free at JP Fitness.
That's nuts.
I mean, it's just the world is too small. So, I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And of course, at the time I had no idea like how legit, you know, that was and how cool of a thing that was. So I like that story a lot. Okay, I wanted to ask you some more questions about your experience so far. Now, starting from such humble beginnings of like 200 people at the end of the first year, about how many people listen to all of your episodes now?
It's somewhere between 15 and 20,000 an episode.
Good God!
Yeah, man, that's amazing. But this is one of the things that I bring up when, you know, we've had a lot of people that worked at like MBSC and like interns that have come through and people that I've met over the years who asked me like, oh, well, how did the show get popular? I'm like, it wasn't for the first 100. no one really listened to the show, but it picks up over time. It picks up. I mean, there's like times where I can look at the stats where you'd be like, what the hell? Like 300 people just downloaded episode 112. What? Like, and then right. You can like look at your tracking on your website and see that someone like linked to it in a forum or in an article, and then you reach whatever it is, 300 new people, and then, you know, maybe 10% of them subscribe and they hang out for a little bit and see if they like it. And then that's kind of how it works. But it didn't happen overnight for sure.
No, like anything else in life, it does not happen overnight. What is your most listened to episode of all time?
That's a really good question. I should look at that. But if I had a guess, it's weird because some of the most listened to episodes are not the ones that you would think. But if I had a guess, it would probably be something with Dan John. Like episode 400 was downloaded a ton. Like that was one of the most downloaded episodes ever. And anything with him in it, and it's just kind of like weird things. Like if you have people with a really strong social network, like their audience will just jump on for that episode or like listen to it in their browser. But if you, like I said, if I had a guess, it's probably something with Dan John. I should really probably go look, and it's so nostalgic to know that I'm scrolling on our website and I'm looking at some old like episodes and old like blog posts and stuff like that of just again, the incredible guests that I was lucky to have. Like episode 46 was probably the most downloaded one up until that point because it was the 1 year anniversary show with John Berardi and Dave Tate.
Wow.
So I was able to get them both at the same time because Dave Tate was working with John for this special diet. Like he was trying to cut out all these. I should really go back and listen to that because again, this is 2007. I was 20 years old and I am 100% positive, or I was 21. I'm pretty sure I was pooping my pants the whole time. Because I had Dave Tate and John Berardi, like two of these guys that like are gods, in my mind still. And like the thought of, you know, talking to them both at once and trying to like a 21-year-old asking Dave questions on his nutrition. What was I thinking? That's why I had JB there. JB had my back.
You were ready. You did it, man. You went. You entered the cave that you feared. You know, you really went for it. Speaking of which, I think this is the answer already. I know this because we've talked about a lot of this in the episodes I've been on with you. But I think Dan John is the answer. But is he the guest you've had on the most?
If I had to guess, and if you asked him, he would say yes.
if you asked him anything, the answer would be himself.
Yeah, but also he would also say like he never has me on the show.
Of course.
I don't know. Like in terms of like a singular guest, it would probably be him or Lou Schuler, or to be honest, like lately, I've had Georgia Dow on a bunch. So again, if I had a guess, it would probably be Dan John because like, there's usually two reasons why I have someone back on the, or three reasons. One, like I really want to talk to them. Like I have a really strong interest in talking to them because I have more questions for them, or I know if I talk to them, like I'm going to have a really good conversation. Two, it's because like they're good people, which seems like a weird thing, but, then it's, you can't like necessarily go back and like look at who I haven't had on the show to like make this judgment. But like, there's some people who like, yeah, man, I actually met them in real life and they're kind of a butthead. Like I'd rather just like, this is again, it's like my show. Like if I did it for money, I'd probably do things a little bit differently, but like download numbers aren't super, a super stressful thing for me. Patreon support is to a certain extent, but, the download numbers, not so much. But yeah, it's like those two. And again, it's like if they have really good information, if it's someone that I know the audience is going to greatly benefit from, I want to try to get them, back on the show.
Yeah, and that's a great reason to do it. I was going to ask you, well, I am going to ask you, what you may have just said, what keeps you doing it? Why 10 years later, after 400, what is it, 410, 415 episodes, are you still doing it?
I think the two biggest reasons are it's super fun, and the second reason, even probably more than that, is it's something that it's going to sound weird, but I really kind of do it for the audience because I feel somewhat of a responsibility, and that even sounds super egotistical, but that I feel like I have some sort of responsibility to deliver a really good show every single week with people that are really going to be incredibly smart. They're going to be fascinating. They're going to be able to give people information that they can act on, and it's not like, you know, going to a seminar and you'd be like, all that stuff went over my head, but things that, you know, people can actually utilize. And I feel like, let's put it this way. If I didn't think I could do the best possible fitness podcast out there, I'd probably stop doing it. But mm-hmm. There's tons of great shows out there. There's your show. There's Anthony Renda's Strength Coach podcast. There are a bunch of people out there that do really good podcasts in this realm. But again, I'm like, well, I believe I do the best one. And if I didn't, I would change things to help get closer to that lofty goal that I set. But again, I think this whole show for me and for the audience, I believe should be about great information. It should be a lot of fun. It should be some like, yeah, I can't wait to hear whoever it is. Like, I can't wait to hear Georgia Dow on the show next week. I can't wait to hear Tony Gentilcore's episode because I always love Tony's always fun to listen to. Plus, I always come away with a couple things that I can go do in the gym right now. Or I can listen to, I don't know, like Brendan Rarick. You know, it'll give me something to really think about when it comes to warming up. And I don't know, I think that's like the big thing that drives me. But in terms of the way things are today, with like we're recording this hours before I have to jump on a plane to go to Germany, time gets really tight these days. So if it wasn't for the audience, their support through like things like Patreon and donations and just like messages on Twitter and Facebook and on iTunes, I don't know if I would still be doing it, but at this point it's like, why stop?
Yeah. And I buy that, you know, and my other way of looking at it is, well, what do you get out of it? You know, I know this, but you're not getting wealthy from this, are you?
No.
Why are you laughing at that question?
I'm laughing at that question because for two reasons. One, it actually, you know, the cool thing about this is that through Patreon support, like the Patreon support's at like roughly $250 an episode, or it might actually be a little bit lower than that, because the weird thing about Patreon is like it will say, you know, there's this much being donated per episode, but some people like do a max of $2 per month. So after two episodes, and by the way, let me preface this, any financial contribution to me in this show is unbelievable. Like it is what pays the bills for me to do this. It's what like basically has allowed me to start the FitCast network and make this a little bit more of a business and legitimize it a little bit more. But like you, I don't know, you can times 250 times four, subtract Patreon fees, subtract taxes or whatever, and times that by 12 months. It's not like a living wage, but you know, again, I'm very grateful for what I've been able to produce out of it. And when people like Pedestal, you know, come on the show as sponsors, that helps. But you like when people, again, people have asked me like, oh, well, you know, and there's a couple great podcasts that have started from people that have asked me like, oh, how do you start a podcast? I want to start a podcast. But like the last thing I want to hear is, oh, well, how do you make money off it? Like you don't. You really...
Right.
You don't like I. You know how much I worked my ass off in college at GameStop. I worked at Best Buy during the summers so I could partially pay for bandwidth for the podcast. I lost money off it. You know, I had
That's awesome.
I had to buy at the time, like it was probably like $1,000 MacBook to do it, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when like I was an RA in college, I was working as an RA, I was working at GameStop. I was fortunate to have people like Eric Cressy and Mike Robertson that paid for me to fly with them to LA and shoot videos and then make DVDs for them. And that's like how I funded this thing for the first couple of years. Like I lost tons of money, and people can justify a podcast today by like, oh, it's building my brand or whatever. But like, I even think it should be the most pure thing possible. Like I do Back in My Play, a retro video game podcast, because I just want to talk about retro video games with people. I just want like, it's almost like a reason to be able to get together with people to talk about this stuff, because it's not like, at least we're not on like the phone talking with each other. We can share this with other people, and it's a little bit more valuable that way. But yeah, I don't know. Like, this is a very niche podcast. And, you know, we talk about numbers of 15,000 downloads, something like that per episode, to advertisers, to actual like general advertisers. Like you might hear like on every podcast now, you hear about like whether it's like a mattress or whether it's like domain names, like the amount of downloads I would need to actually make any money off those would be insane. Like we're talking hundreds of thousands of downloads. So that's why I'm always super lucky when people like Pedestal jump on board and sponsor the show, or like I said in the past, like Craig Ballantyne, or even Quest Bars, before anyone knew what a Quest Bar was, when they only had two flavors, they sponsored the show because I was fortunate enough to have one of their original founders, I believe, listen to the podcast. So I was lucky.
That's awesome. Mr. Kevin Larrabee, a man of the people, a practical Robin Hood of the fitness industry.
I wouldn't put it this way, because like the way that I look at it, and I think, you know, other people can look at it, it's like this podcast got me connections with so many people. It's allowed me to meet, you know, great people at seminars and stuff, like whether it be God, like Harold and Jeff, like at Perform Better, meeting, you know, you and Mark. I think when I originally met Mark at Perform Better in Providence, and I actually can't remember if he even knew what the FitCast was at the time, but like this podcast has given me outlets to just meet so many great people, like Lee Peel, who I've had on the show a bazillion times, or Chris Scott Dixon, or Dan John, or again, like the list can go on forever, and I'm sure I'm missing like a ton of people. The relationships I've built with Jonathan Fass and Tony Gentilcore, and it's also allowed me, like it basically allowed me to go talk to Mike Boyle at his gym one day when I was like, I'm really bored at Boston Sports Club. I'm thinking of going back and getting my master's. Should I do that? And he said, well, why don't you come work here? Like that was possible because of this podcast and the skills that I guess came along with that as well.
Yeah. Since you've mentioned his name a couple times, I would like to wish Tony Gentilcore a happy 40th birthday yesterday.
Was it 60th? Is it 40th?
Wasn't it 90th? Isn't he 90? It's hard to believe he's only 40.
It is hard. I mean, Tony, who is he was like surely getting his AARP card in the mail today. But no, yeah, absolutely. Tony turned 40, and he's I know there was a, or as Pete said, there was like a brief 5-minute Tony's Techno Thursdays segment at Cressy Sports Performance yesterday. So that's great.
Even though yesterday was Tuesday and you said it was Tony's Techno Thursday, but it was Tuesday, enough to Thursday.
No, but that's what we used to do when like I was an intern there. It would be Thursdays because Eric would leave early. So Tony like had like the last groups with us, with the interns at the end. So it would be like me, Pete, Tony. And actually it ended up being like Danny Verna, who I'm sure is like still training there. But like we would all lift at the end at like 6:30 at night, and Tony would put on these like incredibly ridiculous, like almost I don't even know how I would describe it, but odd techno music, which I'm sure you could hit him up and try to get his ideal track list for weird techno music.
EDM, isn't that what they call it? Isn't that what the kids call it?
I don't know. I'm so old. I'm 30, man.
Oh gosh, I love it. Next question for you, Kevin. How can the show continually get better over the years? I'm sure you've thought about this. How can you keep improving the show, or in what ways do you want to improve it, I guess is a better way to ask it.
I think it's really important to continue to get fresh voices on the show. It's always great to have on people that I've had on a bunch of times, whether it's yourself or Mark or, you know, again, Chris Scott Dixon. It's really great to have those people on and come back on a couple times if there's more things to be said or to catch up. But I think it's going to be really important to get new voices on the show. And it's always great to have the like the veterans on, like the people that have been doing this for years. Like you have the Dan Johns, the Mike Boyles of the world to come on and talk. And now you put like Lou Schuler and Alan Cosgrove in that category, like people who are masters of this craft, and talk with them. But I also think it's equally as important to get people on the show that are very young, like 24, 25, because like I brought this up a couple times, but it was actually in relations with you guys at MFF. But I think it's going to be very important for people in the fitness industry to watch what you guys are doing, to watch what you know, gyms like Achieve Fitness in Boston are doing, in terms of emphasizing community almost above all else, because programming is not hard. It's really not. If you think programming, a strength training, you know, programming for strength training and for fat loss or for hypertrophy, it's not. We've mostly figured it out. And there's like the big problem is like making sure that we can keep it fresh enough so people don't get bored. But if you look at what the next generation of fitness professional is doing in terms of building community, and this is super, super important, and people do not brush this off, a very safe environment to train in, a welcoming, safe environment where
yes,
they feel like they should never feel like, is this going to look weird if I wear this to the gym? Is this shirt too tight? Or is this like, do I look fat in the shirt or something? God, because I still do that. I'm like, God, does this fit all right to wear to the gym? But to produce an environment where it is like that in like business, people call it like the third spot. You know, like you go to your house, you go to work, but that what's that third place that people go? And to create that for people that know they're going to go there and they're going to have a great time, and almost fitness is completely secondary. But they're going to be doing it anyways, right? Because they're going to be there. They're going to go through their warm up. They're going to do some mobility work. They're going to do some activation. They're going to do some strength training. They're going to do some conditioning. So they're going to get a lot of great benefits from going there. But also they're never going to ever think, oh, I don't want to go today because I ate too much last night. And like, I'm not going to feel comfortable being there in the morning, or yeah, like the people there are just kind of like, I just see them looking at me weird sometimes, or something along those lines. And again, props off to, you know, Lauren and Jason Pack and Steven and Lindsay also as well in Boston. We have a ridiculous hotbed of just great young facilities. And I will continue to call them out every single time that I have the opportunity to do so, because it is going to be what a lot of older gyms that's what will hurt them greatly if they cannot keep up with having a great community. And it's something that I still think like we get away with at MBSC, but I think it's going to be a real big problem if we don't actually put some more focus on it in the next, you know, coming months and years.
Yeah, dude, I have to say that's beautiful to hear, because I can use an example of last night. One of my main jobs at MFF is the head of sales here. So I was selling a membership to a gal last night, and she had beautifully expressed how she had never really felt comfortable in a gym, which is, of course, our wheelhouse, right? That's exactly who we're trying to attract to our facility. And she really was beautiful in the way she was expressing that. And it made it so easy for me to truly show the values and how accepting we are that then we just walked around and watched another class happening. And there was like six or seven ladies who of all different shapes and sizes that were by the end of class working out in their tights and sports bras, and people of all sizes, not just like ripped athletes, but like literally every size. And when we came downstairs to talk about membership to like make the sale, she brought that up. And she said how wonderful that was to see. And it immediately put her at ease that it was tall girls, short girls, in between, really skinny, really large, you know, and that really helped her feel comfortable. And I said, yes, exactly. And they all felt comfortable with each other in the room. And I thought that that was a really beautiful way to, you know, say yes and to exactly what you said. Hey, you were talking about all these great guests that you've had. Who is your dream guest that you've never had on? Who's somebody that you want to have on that's your dream guest that you haven't had on?
I don't know.
Maybe there's a bunch of them.
Jason Statham.
Why Jason Statham?
Because not only was he the star of Crank 1 and 2, Transformer 1 through 3, he has now transitioned into the Fast and Furious film franchise. So I don't think there is a better actor in Hollywood.
I love you so much for saying that.
I don't think there's anyone that brings more joy to the people that go and sees his movies. Because you know what? I would love to see him with his shirt off all the time. Like, he finds reasons that will seem illogical at the time to take your shirt off, but he'll do it. And then he'll beat the shit out of someone while his shirt's not on. And like, yeah, you could have, it's why, like, I don't like, I tried watching the latest Bond movie a couple weeks ago. It was on like Amazon Instant.
So bad.
Right. And I'm like, this is just boring. Like, if I was watching The Transporter 3, there'd be incredible car chases. Jason Statham will neatly take his coat off, place it on the hood of the car, and then beat the crap out of people, and then just calmly put it back on and drive away and go off a sick jump or something. But I don't know. To be honest, like, I don't know if there is someone that I have as like a guest I would really want on the show, because no, I could say like insert celebrity trainer or something like that, but I don't know. Like, I think some of the best people that I could talk to are the ones that are, God, I almost, you know what I hate? I don't really like this. And it's okay if you use this term, in the trenches. I don't want to say in the trenches because, yo guys, this ain't World War One. We're not, you know, comparing what we do to trench warfare is dumb.
It's terrible. I know. I even said the front lines to you earlier and I wanted to vomit at my own voice saying it.
I'm just saying, like, if, again, I just been really fortunate to have, you know, anyone that I really want to have on the show come on the show. And maybe there's people that the audience can kind of point me towards that you want to have on the show. I'm still looking for a really good, like, CrossFit guest, someone that does a really good job with CrossFit and can also speak to, you know, some of the and openly speak to some of the potential letdowns that CrossFit has for the people that they're trying to help. I'd be kind of curious to find someone that could do that. So if you're listening, hit me up, kevin@thefitcast.com.
When you say, what do you mean? So explain that better to me. Somebody that can do, somebody that works for CrossFit, like a CrossFit trainer? Is that what you're?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest request that I get is, why don't you have more people that are into CrossFit on the show? And I've had Kelly Starrett on a couple times, so you could look at that. But I don't know. I'm not one of those anti CrossFit people. I think I'm an anti bad coaching person. If you're really bad at coaching people and you let them do things with poor form that could potentially injure themselves, especially when they're in an already fatigued state, I think you're a bad coach. But there are tons, like, some of the best Olympic lifting coaches in the world are affiliated with CrossFit. So I think that needs to be recognized as well.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Hey, some other things I want to hear about. These may be some strange questions for you, or I don't know how you're going to quite answer them, really. What subject comes up the most on the podcast? Now, that may be weird. I don't even know if you can answer this because it's a fitness podcast, but what subject is something that keeps coming up over and over?
Well, from the last maybe year or so, year or 2 years maybe, I would, and this is usually coming from me, and it's what I'm most interested about, because I will preface this again by saying, like, we have a really good idea of what we should be doing in terms of nutrition and strength training to get people to meet their goals. The problem that we still have as a profession and as an industry is how to help them and assist them psychologically on the journey to their goals. Because you give them a program, you give them guidelines for their nutrition, depending on how specific it is, doesn't really matter. But for some reason, even if you give them the best, most dialed in, the perfect amount of volume for a strength training program, no matter what their goals are, same thing for nutrition, no matter what their goals are, we as animals will not, we will deviate from that. And I think what we need to do a better job of is psychological support for people. And that starts from the beginning, whether it be the initial interview. It's something you and I have talked about a lot, is, you know, getting to people's why. It's what's so cool about what Coach Steve-O is doing with Habitry in terms of figuring out exactly, all right, what should we be doing to help people best on their journey to reach their goals, and to make sure, you know, even if they do veer off course, you know, what's the best way to get them back on course as well. So probably the psychology of what we're doing is something that is discussed the most, because, to be honest, and God, you guys can give me an internet punch to the face if this ever happens, but, like, you're just not going to hear me on a podcast. And I poke around. I listen to some other fitness podcasts sometimes, and I bang my head. I immediately turn it off when I hear, all right, so what are your favorite deadlift variations? Like,
just
what?
Stop.
What? Who? What? Like, oh, well, like, what? Like, if I could only do, like, one bench press variation, which one would you do? Like, who is listening to this? And, you know, to be fair, those are the questions that I asked 7 years ago. But I think, hopefully, as an industry, as a people, we should have a higher standard for the questions that we should be asking to the people that we are having on our podcast and stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sitting here when you and I are so eye to eye on this, and we sit at our, you know, 4-hour MFF team meetings on Wednesday, and we're like, how many degrees of knee flexion should this be to best teach this? And I'm in the background screaming, who effing cares?
Right.
If we can't get them to show up again tomorrow, this does not matter. Are they getting hurt? No. Then it doesn't matter. Can we acknowledge that it doesn't matter unless they're showing up? Great. Let's acknowledge that. Now, if we just want to be dorks and enjoy this, and by the way, come at me, everybody listening disagrees with me, I'll show you the numbers of Mark Fisher Fitness and how we're doing financially over the last 5 years. But anyway, that's another story. But my point is, I know I was a little bit of an asshole there for a second, but my point is, sure, that's fun to talk about, right? Like, yes, let's talk about the best angle so you can pick up the most weight. And that is important for a very small percentage of the population. Okay, great. Well, go read everything Tony Gentilcore has ever written, and you'll figure it out. He's done all that, right? Like, that's what he does. But if you're running a brick-and-mortar gym, or if you're Habitry and Steve-O and you have an online community, the most important thing is, how are you getting people to show up? Like, is it happening or is it not? Because
right.
That's 90% of it, and you and I absolutely agree on that, that then and only then does it barely really matter beyond not getting hurt. Of what? I'm not talking about the athletes that you guys train at NBSC. I'm not talking about the athletes that Cressy Sports Performance trains, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the rest of the 95% of us out there. You know, so I really appreciate – sorry, did I rant there?
No, I'm on the same page, like I said. And I'm gonna feel bad if we don't get in this question, because I know you got to wrap up real quick. Sarah Polacco had a very serious question that I thought was great. She also is at Achieve. She's actually the lead coach at Achieve now, so she just got promoted. Congratulations, Sarah. Actually, it was a couple months ago, but still. She said, who is your favorite Fast and Furious character? And this is a hot topic. And there's no answer that is correct besides Han. And she should know this, Sarah, because you know Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift is the best in the series, because it is the starting point for what brought us 4, 5, 6, 7, and now the upcoming 8th that is coming out in April 2017 in IMAX and in movie theaters across the world. It is Han. He is the coolest. He is the most generous character in that series, and he's always eating stuff on screen, which is cool too.
That is a great answer. Kevin, I have like 10 more questions, but these are going to be fast ones, and I want to challenge you to answer them quickly, because we got a few more minutes here, and I know you have to fly off to Germany, but are you willing to play along with me?
Deal or no deal, sure.
Okay. What of all, how many total episodes have you are available right now of the FitCast?
I think it's 415.
What was your worst episode?
Oh, the first one.
Who was the guest?
It was me and I think it was Eric and Kaiser from talking about the JP Fitness Summit 06.
What is your best episode?
I don't have a best episode. I think it still hasn't been recorded yet.
What is your, who's your favorite guest? Obviously take me out of the running. That's not fair. Your absolute favorite guest that you've ever had on the show.
Oh, that's such a mean question to ask, because, I know some people are going to hear this through the grapevines, but, there's like 50 that are all at the top, but,
can I make it an easier question?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite guest that you've only been able to have on once for whatever reason that you'd like to have on again?
Actually, you know what? I was just thinking about emailing Dave Dellanave again. Like Dave is a really awesome dude.
He is, yeah.
So I need to get him back on. And he's sporting just like a ridiculous mustache right now.
Oh, he's handsome as hell, no doubt. Have you ever had a major, or whatever you would consider major, disagreement with a guest on air that you didn't edit out?
No, I think in the past I've been called the Jay Leno of fitness podcasts. So
yeah, I've heard you say that.
Yeah. It's not really like a debate kind of thing when on the show, but, there have been times when I've rolled my eyes, I guess, for sure.
I won't make you say names.
Oh, actually yeah, I probably shouldn't name names.
You're welcome to.
No, it's okay.
Wonderful. Maybe next time, maybe after 800, I'll convince you to.
We'll see.
There's two different categories to this next question. Who have you learned the most from technically as a trainer in the industry? What's once you have to only choose one person?
Eric Cressy. He taught me how to lift.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, but I think we can all put Eric up there. Probably he's in our top three of everyone, I would say.
Well, again, like, and also not only did he let me train with him for free for 3 months in between, in the summer of between my sophomore and, junior year of college, like literally for free. And he, like I said, he taught me how to deadlift. He taught me how to bench. He taught me how to squat. He taught me how to be incredibly strict about form and you know, he was definitely one of the huge factors in helping me become a great coach.
He's a great guy. Who have you learned the most from, more from the psychological perspective that we're now discussing?
Well, this is probably not super fair because she's also been coaching me, but Chris Scott Dixon would absolutely be up there. But there's no doubt, like, Lee Peel was so ahead of the game when it came to this stuff as well. When I was talking to her, you know, a year into the show, it's why she was, you know, a host on the show for a couple of years. I would love to get her back on again soon, but if you know Lee Peel personally, you know she is super busy and hard to get a hold of.
What? Okay, so here we go. Here's some more rapid fire, and then we'll wrap up. What is your favorite city to visit?
Tokyo.
Your favorite city that you would like to live in?
Tokyo.
What are the chances you live in Tokyo at some point in the near future?
Pretty good.
What's your favorite food?
I'll say real quick, like 3 years ago, I was set to move to Tokyo. I was putting the pieces together. I was getting the job lined up. I had awesome buddy out there, Robert Palka, was even going to like house me for a little bit until I figured out where I was going to go. I was trying to get into the JET program to teach English out there because I love Japan so much. And then my dad got sick. So it kind of was a little bit of a speed bump in that, but luckily, thanks to science and drug trials, he is continuing to kick ass to this day. So thank you, science.
Yeah, science is a good thing. What is your favorite ethnic cuisine? So pick one ethnic. What is your favorite ethnic cuisine?
Sbarro's pizza.
Which is probably the answer to the next question too. Your single favorite food?
It's a good slice. I think you can't go wrong with a good slice of pizza or a strong meatball sub. I haven't had a meatball sub in like 10 years. I don't know why. Maybe I can't find a good one, but a good slice of pizza with some like grilled chicken on or something like that, can't beat it.
A couple of tough questions, and you have to think of the first thing that comes to mind, even if the second that you answer it, you want to change your answer, you're not allowed to. Are you ready?
Sure.
Your favorite comedy of all time, movie?
Oh.
Three.
I have no idea.
Two. Come on, Kevin. Favorite comedy? You can't think of one?
I watched Happy Gilmore the other night. That holds up pretty good. I laughed at those jokes a lot.
This will be even harder. Your favorite action film of all time?
Oh, probably Pacific Rim.
Yes. Your favorite romance film?
No doubt in my mind. About Time.
Yes, I knew that was going to be
No doubt in my mind whatsoever. I might watch that on my flight. I'm going to be bawling.
Kevin Larrabee, would you like to have children someday?
Yeah, why not?
Who's your favorite actress? You only get to pick one.
Actress.
Mm-hmm.
It's with Rachel McAdams, I guess. I think she might be the most beautiful woman in the world.
I couldn't agree more, except for my wife, of course. who's your favorite actor?
Actor, it's tough. It would be between Michael J. Fox and The Rock.
Yes, I love that. What, you get to only pick one, your favorite all-time book?
And I don't want it to be a business book. You know, it's between two books. It's either Console Wars by Blake J. Harris, which is all about the war between Nintendo and Sega. Fantastic book. Go check it out if you haven't already. But you know what I really liked was Essentialism too, if you're just kind of looking. And you know what? I'm going to have to look this up on my phone real quick, and I'm going to have it in 2 seconds because it's on my Audible account. But I think everyone should read, it is called When Breath Becomes Air. And again, have a box of tissues with you. But that is an incredibly important book to read.
you're stuck on a desert island and there's somehow a random plug-in for technology, and you can choose one gaming system and one game that you get to play for the rest of your life. What video game are you taking with you to your deserted island?
Well, that sucks. I guess if I wanted to maximize my enjoyment, it'd be a Super Nintendo and Super Mario All-Stars, because that's four games in one.
Oh, that's not fair. That's like picking a compilation album for your favorite CD.
Well, you got to preface these questions a little bit better.
Oh, how dare you tell me to do my job better. If you could choose three songs to be on your workout playlist that you could only listen to, these three songs, what are they?
The Jackson 5 ABC would be up there. Power by Kanye West, and Renegades of Funk by Rage Against the Machine.
Wow, you were ready for that one. Okay, now for the all-time greatest question. Are you ready?
Sure.
I'm about to use some sarcasm here. I'm going to troll you. I'm going to troll the whole industry. What's your favorite deadlift variation?
The sumo deadlift, because because it's something I'm actually not a really good straight bar deadlifter. So actually, you know what? I'll say trap bar deadlift. It's great because it's something that people with even poor ankle and hip mobility can do quite well.
How dare you give me a real answer to that question? How dare you? Kevin Laramie, I just want to say this has been the most enjoyable hour ever. I'm so honored. And again, for everybody listening, this is Brian Patrick Murphy. You can find me online on Twitter or on Instagram as at Ole Miss. That's the school I went to. OLEMISS Murph, MURPH. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And I work at Mark Fisher Fitness, one of the co-founders here. And I just absolutely love Kevin Laramie. He's a great
guy. And best life, man.
And Best Life Radio. Yeah, you can find me on MFF Best Life Radio. It's a really great podcast, I think, and it's a lot of fun. I don't put out as many episodes as you do, but there's about 30 great episodes on there so far and more to come. But what an honor to be asked to do this today, and I know you're headed to Germany, but I really appreciate you letting me be on and host you, because you have such a great story. And how cool is this that 420 episodes later, the FitCast just keeps getting better and better, and you're a true mentor to me, man. And I really mean that. So I thank you so much for all the great content you've put out and all the amazing guests you've had on the show. And I really want to thank you for being a huge supporter of mine and having me on your show so much. So thanks, man.
No, this has been, to be honest, an honor for me, not just to have you interview me and host this. There would be no one better to do this job than you. You got me to bring up About Time, which is amazing. But really, like, I want to sincerely, I try to do this as often as possible, but like, for real, you know, thank you so much to the audience out there for downloading the show for so many years. You know, whether you started at episode one or episode 400 or this episode, but, and even more so to all the listeners and the people in the industry that have supported the show, whether it be through, you know, just sharing it with someone, or even more so, you know, I have to say thank you so much to anyone that has ever donated a dollar to this show, because it has allowed me to continue to do it for so many years, and to make it so I don't have to work at GameStop to pay for the bandwidth for the show. So thank you to everyone out there for believing in the show and supporting it for so long.
You are the absolute man, my brother, and have a great trip. I adore you. You're the best. Watch About Time on the plane. And everybody out there, keep on listening to the FitCast. Kevin Laramie is the best. He's going to keep bringing you amazing guests. Let him know what you want to hear him talk about and who you want to have back on the show or to come on the show, because this man has connections everywhere, and I'm sure that he'll do whatever he can to keep bringing you the best content in the industry, which he's been doing for 10 years. So for Kevin Laramie, This is Brian Patrick Murphy, wishing everybody out there to go and just live your best life and have a wonderful, wonderful start to your December. And happy holidays from Brian Patrick Murphy and Mr. Kevin Larrabee.
Take care, guys.